he said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
May 2016, he said, she said. Welcome, everyone. It is good to be alive. It is May. I like May because summer is right around the corner, man, and it's getting hotter, and there's lots of blossoms and flowers, and the trees are all full. It's kind of cool.
It certainly is.
What about you and your allergies?
They're better this year, but when it rains, then I feel it a little bit more. But when it's super hot and dry, I'm good to go.
Good to go. Cool. Okay, so what's cooking?
What's cooking is homemade frozen popsicles, which is perfect for the hot season, or really perfect for any time of the year. And who doesn't love a nice popsicle? They're a wonderful treat year-round, but like I said, especially in the hot weather. And kids love them. Adults love them too. There are a few decent brands of popsicles on the market that you can buy in the health food store. However, I find that the prices are outrageous. You get like 5 or 6 popsicles, and I just find it just over expensive. And usually the kids like to eat more than one, or the adults like to eat more than one. So a homemade popsicle can be beneficial and healing. It doesn't have to be filled with white sugar or artificial sweeteners. And as always, it's always best to make your own of anything. And as you know, what's in it is what you're eating and feeding your kids. So when you make it yourself, you know what you're doing. So making your own popsicles isn't difficult at all. And remember when we used to make the fresh squeezed juice popsicles with a tad of vitamin C powder for the kids when they were little?
For sure.
Yeah. They love them. They were pretty tart, I would imagine, but they really love them. We didn't add any sugar or honey or anything to them. We did add water to them. But here's a few ideas for making your own popsicles. Like I said, the sky is the limit. It depends on what you like, what consistency. Do you like them thicker? Do you like them more icy? But first, what you need to do is purchase containers to freeze the mixture. And there's all different types of sizes and shapes that you can buy in your little dollar store or your grocery store. But what you want to do is plan ahead, because it's best to freeze them overnight. And like I said, the list goes on for different combinations depending on what you like. So here's just one example of a delicious combination using fresh or frozen fruits. So you want to add to the blender, add a little bit of water, maybe about a cup of filtered water. You can add strawberries, pineapple, banana, and mango, and you blend it all up till it's really smooth. You don't want it too thick, otherwise you can't pour it into the popsicle container. But make it to a nice consistency where it pours in easily. Then you put the lid on and you put it in the freezer, and voila, you have a nice popsicle. Now, what you also can do is if you want to add a scoop of vanilla or chocolate protein powder and a half a scoop of vitamin C if you want to pump up the nutritional value. As I mentioned, the sky's the limit. Now, if you want to make something a little smoother and creamier, you can add some plain yogurt or unpasteurized honey. So it's up to you. Go for it. Depending on where you are in the world, summer's coming in our end of the world, so we're going to have popsicle season, and we're going to be known for our popsicles. We're going to have lots of kids around with popsicles and adults, too, and it's a really nice treat in the evening, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the different applications. Obviously, people think of children and popsicles. But I'm just thinking, like, what about seniors in the senior homes? You could actually make a really therapeutic popsicle because there's all kinds of nutrients that you can add in, like 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. You could bolster that with all kinds of flavonoids. And there's just a myriad of different nutrients. You could make one that's high in B6 or niacin, you know, all the water-soluble and some of the fat-soluble nutrients, depending upon the mix of the blend and the fruits and various things that you mixed in. So you could actually make a therapeutic, and this would also be good in schools for kids as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, spirulina would be good. You can add recovery to it. There's all different kinds of things. But I presume that all these things can be frozen. I guess they can. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, just go for it. Make your combinations up. Even your protein shake that you make in the morning that we make, we could freeze that and put it in our little containers, and away you go. You've got a frozen protein shake. I don't know why you couldn't do that. The sky's the limit. Just get creative, right? It's just a different application of drinking a shake or having your supplements, right?
Absolutely, for sure.
So send me some emails on your combinations, everybody. I'd really like to hear them.
That's it?
That's it. That's all. There ain't no more unless you want to add something to it.
No, I think that's good. That's a good one. Okay, so moving on now, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. David Rowland. He's an expert in complementary medicine and received a Bachelor of Commerce degree and MBA education from the University of Toronto. David is the author of 22 books and 88 articles on nutrition and health. He's the founder of the Canadian Nutrition Institute, the Edison Institute of Nutrition, and the Nutritional Consultants Organization of Canada. And also, he's a black belt in karate in 1974, so he can give him a good wham jam. One of the things that you asked him was about the education in the industry, which the industry would be the retail health food stores today. And he says it's just not what it used to be. There's just so many products on the market today. The retailers are swamped. And the only way that they get their education is through the sales reps. So the sales reps are the ones that need the education to explain to the retailers. That's what's been going on. However, the retailers themselves should be educated for their own purposes.
Well, we both know that industry standards are empty. There is no standard for education. It's all learned through self-direction. There's no minimum mandatory standard. And that is really, really hurting our industry. There's just no way that you can understand the complexity and the principles of the products and the principles that drive them without a real strong education. You have to have it. It has to be standardized. You need something that teaches retailers about the history, the pioneers, principles, and the science. And the whole thing's driven by science. So that it would almost be impossible for the wholesale reps to take advantage of the retailers when they're giving their education presentations, because if they were all trained in science and knew the products in advance, then you could see how they could catch people when they're trying to deceive them about a product being what it actually isn't.
And the sales reps or the territory managers or whatever they call them today, they're bombarded. They travel a lot and they work really hard and they're probably really exhausted. They do travel and they have their own territory. So by the time they get home, that's probably the last thing that they want to do is study. Nonetheless, I really like the fact that he said your body needs a buffet of high quality nutrients for the immune system. And I like that because you said smorgasbord. He said buffet, six of one and half a dozen of the other. But I really like that comment, the buffet of high quality nutrients, because that's about what we do. And he said there's about 20,000 products that have been denied by Health Canada because they compete with the pharmaceutical drugs. I mean, really?
Well, it's obvious. It's a business model. If you have control and you see something or someone trying to compete with you, and you have the power through various means to destroy them or discredit them or mislead people into thinking one thing that's not true, that's what you'll do if your end game is business and corporate welfare. That's why they do that. Who wants to lose sales to a competitor?
And again, he says there's no record of anybody ever dying from taking supplements or nutrients. If they take too much, I mean, you can get a little nauseous and maybe throw up, get sick to your stomach, but nobody has ever died, not like pharmaceutical drugs. That's a high percentage of people dying from pharmaceutical drugs. So there you have it right there. You just need to know the dosages of what to take for the supplements and the nutrients, depending on your body weight and your age and your physical activity, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, vitamins and minerals, they're all essential. And it's just simply a matter of understanding how the game is played and what the purpose is and why you're there And all of that should have already been done before the retailer is hired. Like, you don't hire a pharmacist who's going to be one. They have to be one in order to be hired. So imagine if you couldn't work in retail unless you were already certified. In other words, you had to be certified in advance before you could get hired. But then the wage you were paid would also be standardized. Now, that doesn't mean that a cashier ringing up the vitamins has to be certified, but the people that provide advice, that counsel, which is exactly like a pharmacist or like many other professionals that know their product, and the reason they know their product, and that's important for the owners, because they know that if the employees and the staff know the product really, really well inside and out, they're going to sell more product. They're going to be more service orientated, and the customer is going to have a more positive experience, and then they're going to come back because that's what everybody wants.
And they're going to feel better. That's the main thing. Their health is going to get better. Well, it's nice to know he's a big vitamin C advocate, as we are, and he's an omnivore, right? He says that too much.
Well, he's a human. All humans are omnivores.
Well, exactly. Well, really? They're vegan.
Even a human who chooses not to eat meat or dairy or eggs is still an omnivore. That's what they are biologically. Now, they can pretend not to be one. They can behave like a vegan, but they're still an omnivore who's choosing not to be what they are. This is what I was saying the other day in the seminar. The reason I eat meat, chicken, fish, seafood is because I'm an omnivore and my genes are bigger than me. That's what I am. And that's also biologically synonymous with the compatibility model of nature. If I'm not what I am, if I'm trying not to be what I am, I'm going to have conflict. And that's what I've seen in the vegans. They always end up in conflict. They end up with deficiencies and all kinds of health-related issues. Not immediately is why they believe that they're on the right track. But eventually, those subtle deficiencies will become more obvious, and it's more long-term. Because, you know, we're long-lived creatures. It takes a while for us to develop the obvious symptoms of deficiency.
Right. Well, he says he's an omnivore, and he said that if people who are omnivore need to really not depend a lot on the grains. He says that the omnivores need to get enough water and enough fiber. That's an important factor. He says a person that's a vegan, they need to make sure that they get enough protein and enough B12. So those could be, you know, if you're going to get into anything like that, you got to make sure it's a well-rounded, balanced diet for your body type as well. So, yeah, that was a good interview. Very good interview. Thank you, Dr. David Rowland, for that.
Think of this. A person comes to you and asks you for advice. Okay, so what are you? What's standing in front of me? Are you a carnivore? Are you a omnivore or a herbivore? Well, humans, every single human is an omnivore. That's how we're biologically classed. Now, if you don't like that, then you've got to take on biology. You've got to stand up against the science, evidence-heavy science of biology. And that's it. So it doesn't matter how they choose, because you could get a so-called omnivorous person, a person who's eating both plants and animals, who's doing a really, you know, horrible job, just making the worst possible choices. And then you can get a vegan who's incomplete. So it doesn't really matter what they're doing. You have to supply that biological demand. That's why our prime directive is supply your biological demand. It overrides everything. Okay, so what are you? What are your goals? Where are we right now? And that's why I love functional evidence-based medicine, because it makes assumptions based on your existence, which a lot of people don't, and that's why they get into trouble.
And there you have it, spoken like an expert.
Right on.
Thank you, Doctor.
That was a good one. I like David. He's a pioneer. He's been doing a lot of great work, and he's a writer. You know, he's got his schools. He's pro-education. So, you know, we really need to give credit where credit is due.
And he also said, on his final word, he also said that you're a pioneer as well. So that was nice. That was very nice of him to say that. Mind you, I did pay him to say that.
Well, of course. Kidding. Of course you did. And I appreciate that.
Anyways, thank you.
Okay, so let's move on to our final topic. What is your hot topic today, dear?
Our hot topic today is bullies. Bullies are everywhere. They're in your schools, in your workplace, your playgrounds, your nightclubs, grocery stores, literally everywhere there's going to be a bully. But the issue that gets me about bullies is that they catch you off guard. And hindsight is 20/20 when it comes to giving an intelligent reaction. Because you can go back home and go, gee, I should have said this, I should have said that, I should have said this. But you have to be prepared. You're not always prepared for a bully. It's the last thing that you think is going to happen. Because the reason I'm talking about this, because it just happened to me, 2 times in 1 week, I was bullied. And at my age, too. You know, it's not just for little kids. It's any age, there's bullies.
Well, bullying doesn't discriminate with age. There's no discrimination with age with bullying. No.
Or gender. Or gender. So, you know, I came home and I was like, whoa, I should have said this, I should have said that. But, you know, I kept my mouth shut. And I just thought, I don't want to be around those people ever again. And I didn't even realize that that was a bully until I got home and I thought about it and chatted with you about it. And thought, yeah, that was a bully thing to do, what they just did, right? So what do you think? Oh, boy, I opened up a can of worms, didn't I, folks?
Well, I was bullied most of my young life, and I was kind of in the corner in the classroom, keeping to myself. I was shy, and now I realize that that's part of what attracted the bully to me. If you go online and study bullying today, which is something they never had available, there was no books written on it, and you had no one to consult with, and basically, you know, the philosophy when I was a kid was you got to punch the guy out eventually. You stand up for yourself. And if you came home with a black eye or a busted arm, your dad would say, great job, you stood up for yourself, and that's how you're going to toughen up. Now, of course, they don't promote violence, and there's a whole protocol online that they suggest for handling a bully. But I think that what we were talking about earlier today with the bully issue is that you have to, like the Boy Scout, be prepared for the worst and hope for the best. So the Boy Scouts, they bring into the bush everything they need in case there's a disaster, in case it pours rains, in case they have to respond to an emergency. They hope that they won't, and it's great if they don't, but they are ready and prepared. So I think that when you go out into the world, you cannot be naive and stupid and think that everyone is just a beautiful, kind, charming person. And you also have to know what bullying is and the difference between someone who is a bully and someone who isn't. So one of the things that helped me overcome my interpretation of my experience looking back was when I learned that bullies often pick on the most intelligent people they can find after they have kind of designed a group of people that they all control. You know, and the bully can be short. It can be 4 foot tall and bully an 8 foot tall guy because it's intellectual and it's harsh and they scare the crap out of most people. Like, I think that Hitler and Mussolini and all these nutcases like Chairman Mao and Stalin and Lenin, I think they were absolute massive, massive bullies that scared the you-know-what out of people and actually did kill people and did order massive destruction all around them. And so everyone was terrified of them, and that's why they complied, that's why they obeyed. But I think the issue with bullying is when you're confronted with a situation and you're the kind of person that doesn't like being pushed around, but you're also a nonviolent person. So what do you do when the only response ultimately is not intellectual, but physical? Because that was my experience. I tried to ignore, I tried to avoid, and then the bully keeps at you, keeps pestering, keeps pushing, keeps coming at you, then pulls other people into it. In my experience as a young kid, you know, I was one of the Hawley brothers, I was pretty tough. And ultimately what I had to do was to prove to the group, to my peers, to the school, that I could physically stand up for myself, because that's what everybody was looking. And that's what ultimately it led to. And of course, the guy had no idea what he was dealing with, because I was shy, I was quiet, I didn't like violence. But all hell's fury was unleashed in me when it came time, when the actual physical fight came down, because that's what it came down to. And there'd be a circle of people around, and there'd be this bully who had been pushing me around for weeks or months. And then I finally said, okay, that's it. You want some of me? Take some of me. And then I would just basically wind up as hard as I could, punch him in the head, knock him out. And that happened many times.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
I know.
What do you do when you've got little kids with you and somebody bullies, let's say somebody bullies me, the grandmother, and I've got my two little grandkids. Even people that don't stop on a pedestrian sign for you, that's a bully. And they look right at you and they just don't stop. They just look right at you and they go, you know, I used to, when the kids were really babies, I used to, you know, give them the finger and swear. And I thought, well, I can't be doing that. That's not right when the kids get older. So what do? You know, when you've got little ones with you and somebody's bullying you, you can't swear at them. And, you know, because it happens a lot, especially with little kids. Where the area that we're in, they won't stop for you. Or you've got some of these older people on those little scooters, and they will not move over at all. And I've got this great big double stroller. We're supposed to share the sidewalk, let's say, but they just think they own the road. They own the sidewalk. And it's like, hey, I got like a newborn in here and a 2-year-old, and you're still not, you know, and that's just one scenario of 100 that I could give to you.
In a civil society, you don't actually beat people up. You sue them, or you approach them and have a discussion with them. Of course, Bruce Lee is famous for the idea of the art of fighting without fighting, where you intellectually take the guy down or the woman. Now, I think the issue is being prepared and forewarned and ready to go, because this is true, I think. The vast majority of bullies are just hot air. And as soon as you meet their challenge, because what they're looking for is people to control and overcome and push around. And of course, they might have been raised in a horrible environment where everyone screams and yells at each other, and they had the crap beaten out of them all the time. So they just think it's normal. But in most cases, whether they had that experience or not, I think it's just their personality, their character, and society is too light on them. I think people do what they do with intention. They know exactly what they're doing, and they continue to do it, and they will continue to bother you and push you around until you stand up. Now, you can pull away, you can submit, you can roll over, you can let them walk all over you, you can comply and do exactly what they say and take the crap, or that's not going to do your self-esteem any good. I don't think that's going to do anyone any good, because they're just going to continue pushing everyone around. Somebody has to stand up, but it's intellectual. It's being witty. It's being prepared. It's breathing and waiting for a moment, and then with your wit and intelligence, challenging what they said, challenging how they said what they said, not by being a jerk yourself, but by being confident and strong, looking them right in the eyes and being absolutely freaking fearless. Freaking fearless, because this the fearlessness of the person being attacked, that will usually cause them to stop. Because once they see in you that you're a badger, that they're playing around with the wrong person, like even an animal in nature, like a big predator, say, and sees a porcupine, which is small compared to, say, a bear, it uses a technique and a strategy that makes the, in this case, the predator could be like a bully, not want to get involved anymore because they don't want to get injured or maimed in the process of getting their meal, right?
Right. Well, it's interesting. It's all interesting. I mean, there's a big campaign on it now, you know. And of course, I was bullied when I was a kid as well, you know. Like all through my life, I've been bullied. And even, crazy, it's still going on. It's ridiculous. And I know that people listening all have stories of their own, right? So we got to stop this nonsense, you know what I mean, and be intelligent and have an intelligent reaction. So I'm working on that, folks. I'm working on it.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is if you have a lot of self-esteem and self-worth, you will not take a lot of crap from anybody. At least you won't for long. So it might catch you off guard. It might catch you by surprise. You walk away and think, who the hell is that person? It might come up again, especially if you work with them. Now, again, there's a civil way to process these difficulties. And I think it's all intellectual. You have to, first of all, not allow that person to get inside and to believe what they're saying, because that's what happens to people. They say bad things to you, or they might insult you or your parents or your skin color or your religion or whatever. You have to see beyond that. You have to be bigger, smarter than they are. It's just like if you're in a bar, you know. There's been many, 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 many times in my life where I've walked away and lived to experience something else the next day. Like in Peru, when these guys were chasing me, they were going to kill me. I ran. I'm not going to stand up to the bullies who were going to kill me to get my wallet. So it depends on the situation. But in
yes, situation- it does depend on the situation. It does depend on the situation. Sometimes you have to take the high road, which I did, and I walked away because I was in the atmosphere I was in. If I wasn't in that atmosphere and I wasn't dressed to kill, I mean, I was at a big function, a big gala, glamorous gala, and I was all decked out and dressed up, and an idiot was really rude and obnoxious, and you weren't there. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't have said it. And I just thought, whoa, you know, what am I, and I had other people around me, and I'm just like, what are you, I was shocked. So I felt the blood pressure, my poor little thyroid, and I just thought, what am I going to do, you know? So anyways, I just walked away. I wanted to go home, basically. But I just thought, oh my goodness, I hope I don't see that guy. But I've been fantasizing about him and things I wanted to do, and it wasn't pretty. But I feel so much better now, because what it does is I asked a lot of my close friends and told them what happened, and then they tell me their stories. And some of the stories that people have told me about being bullied is absolutely horrifying. And I just thought, well, I don't know, misery loves company, I guess, if you want to say that. But I just thought, it's all around us, all over the place. Seriously, we need to stop the bullying. And we have to be careful how we react, because you never know. Someone could take a gun out or a knife, or they could stalk you. You never know what you're dealing with when you deal with these people. You have to be very careful. So sometimes it's best just to walk away. However, if you're dealing in a situation where you're working with this person on a regular basis and you're going to see this person all the time, then you need to stand up and say something. But if it's just a one-time shot deal, then maybe that's a different story. Just it's a situation, really it is, but it's very interesting, the whole thing. It's just human interaction, human relationships, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with naivety. People just make assumptions that everyone else is basically good. And you can believe that if you like, but if you go out into the world, especially if you travel, if you go into third world countries, or if you fly around and you think that every single taxi driver at every single taxi airport in the world is going to be honest, then you're an idiot for thinking that way. So I think that part of it is the training that you have about humans, and you lack the insight. And then second is that you have to understand the nature of the beast you're dealing with. Like if you go into a jungle without a sword or a gun, it's likely that the predators are going to eat you. Now, they might not even be giant predators. They might be insects that sting you. So you have to know how to defend yourself. And you have to know that this person that's attacking you or being a bully has nothing to do with you and everything to do with their mindset, which is not your mindset. So you have to build up a shield, and part of the shield is the knowledge that you're not them, and that their behavior is a product of not just their family, but society. So they're everywhere. They're around. They're part of the human race. And who knows if they always will be. We're not nearly evolved enough to weed them all out. But the fact is that if you've been bullied and you are being bullied, it's never going to stop until you make it stop and you create a plan, a strategy. You have to think about it and talk about it and get advice and find out the best and most appropriate action. I mean, listen, I'm a naturopath. My oath is based on do no harm. So you're right. I can't go around punching people, but I can stand up for myself at the moment in time that this situation happens and say, no, you can't say that. I don't have to call them an idiot. I don't have to be mean, but I just have to stand up and say, I don't know where you're coming from, buddy, but whatever the response would be to what they said or how they did it. Like people can butt in lines. People can push you around on the road. People can threaten you. And then again, if you respond and retaliate to a bully, some of them will even get a crowbar and try and knock you on the head with it. Right?
Yeah,
so you really have to be, you have to use the power of discernment.
Careful. Yes. Anyway, that's that. Thank you.
What's your final word?
My final word is by Eric McAdams. If you keep good food in your fridge, you will eat good food.